Blessing to see so many people here with us today, celebrating, recognizing Yahweh's special day, His Moed, His festival, Yom Teruah. And we are in the season of repentance. The full month of Elul and the first few weeks of Tishri. These are days for which the issues of repentance and atonement weigh heavy on our hearts. Why? This 40-day period calls us to deeply reflect on the state of our hearts and our relationships with Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty, our families, and our neighbors. But you might rightly question, what does this have to do with messianic believers? We have repented, And we have received atonement already for our sins, past, present, and future. Abba, our beloved Father. Never before in my short lifetime have I felt the urgency to come before you in repentance of my sins. Never before have I felt the pressing need to open my heart so fully and display the truth more to myself, since you know the state of my heart, than to you. And I pray everyone here today feels this need. For it is imperative we understand the nature of our relationship with you, the lover of our souls and the judge of our hearts. The time is near for your return, and we yearn to come before you wearing the white garments of our Messiah, with hearts as white as newly fallen snow. Hear our prayers of repentance, I beg you, and answer us with your loving kindness. B'shem Yeshua Moshiachenu. Amen. Certainly, we are all of the same mind regarding our salvation. But do we really understand the nature of repentance and atonement? The Apostle Yohanan wrote about this very clearly in 1 Yohanan 1. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Adonai Yeshua, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us all from our unrighteousness. If we say we don't have any sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Even saved from eternal death, we still sin. Even though we are no longer sinners, we still sin. Our human desires have not been extracted from us, and this is what drives to a great degree our sinful behavior. If we hide behind the mantra, I have no need of repentance, I have been forgiven of my sins, past, present, and future, and I have received eternal atonement, then we set ourselves up not only by opening the door for the adversary to influence us through our pride, we also create for ourselves the opportunity to receive severe consequences when it comes time for judgment. Listen to Yohanan's words of warning. If we say we don't have any sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. These words are written to messianic believers, not to unbelievers. There exists currently within many of the church a perception that his atoning death forever removed the punishment for whatever sin may be committed. Thus, no matter what I do, I will still receive eternal life. However, that applies only to judgment, not to consequences. Every time we confess our sins, teshuvah, turn around, and ask for forgiveness, we receive a blessing. That is God's promise, as we read in Isaiah 44. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Have you ever been thirsty? I mean, really thirsty. Medical practitioners say our frail bodies need water constantly to enable us to function properly. They also tell us if our bodies do not receive water in 3 days, we will die. One Yom Kippur, I tried fasting completely, even refusing water, although my medical practitioner said I was not allowed to. That was just one day, and I thought I was dying from thirst. We believers, I find, are thirsty. Thirsty for a full and complete relationship with our Messiah. And if our hearts harbor unrepented sin, we block the fulfillment of that relationship. That is why believers, when they are convicted by Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit of the Living God, need to come before his throne and ask for forgiveness. This is not something we can bring about ourselves. Oh yes, we can forgive ourselves for the sins we commit against Adonai and man, but we cannot provide atonement for those sins. But when we repent and ask for forgiveness, are we not crucifying him over and over again? Remember, our salvation provides us entry into eternal life with our beloved Abba. However, it does not provide us with absolution from the consequences of our sins. Our repentance provides us with blessings of his mercy in the form of times of refreshment, the receiving of Adonai's peace, which surpasses all understanding. Can you truly say right now, today, that you are experiencing God's shalom, his fullness, his completeness in your life? If you are, then you are truly blessed. But if you are not, be aware that unrepented sin might be blocking that peace from flowing to you, unsolicited. Before we go any further, though, it might be wise to thoroughly unpack what is meant by repentance. I was surprised by the full intent of this word. The Hebrew word shuv, the root of teshuvah, is used more than 1,000 times in the Hebrew scriptures, and first appears in Genesis 3. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return, shuv, to the ground, since you were taken from it. For you are dust, and you will return, shuv, to dust. In Messianic thought, the return, Hashuv, is a spiritual process of turning to Yahweh in the process of turning away from evil. Are we able to turn away from evil directly by our own efforts? I think not. How can we turn away from something we don't recognize? Often as a child, I wondered what the term "you cannot see the forest for the trees" meant. It seemed incongruous to me, since the forest was made of trees. But I was missing the bigger picture, pun intended. My state of sin is greater than the sum of the individual sinful behaviors I commit. Think of it as a gestalt of evil. While living in a sinful state, being a sinner, my heart, my mind, my will had turned away from God. I could not recognize him for what he is, the lover of my soul. But it was only in my beginning to recognize him through the intervention of Ruach HaKadosh that I began to see him for the love he is. Only when I began to feel his presence and the sting of conviction was I able to recognize my state of sinfulness. And even then, I could not turn away on my own. The pull to return to sin was still great.
Truth of your kingdom reign. enter the Holy of Holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy, holy, Lord. For your name is holy. for your name is holy, so holy, Lord. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of glory, let the weight of your glory fall. Let the weight of your glory.
When I first met Chantal, I was a smoker. I had stopped smoking in 1977 after my children begged me to stop. They didn't want their daddy to die. Then in 1994, I fell in with the wrong crowd, a crowd of smokers and drinkers, and without the support of my God, whom I had rejected, began smoking heavily right from the first puff. Chantal, my beloved, was gentle but firm, laying down the rules about when and where I could smoke around here, and she won me over. It wasn't easy, I can tell you, but the effort was worth it. However, the motivation to stop smoking was greater than the motivation to continue smoking. And that is how God works with us. The motivation to turn to Him is greater than the motivation to remain in evil, if we but recognize the difference. By working with us directly or through others, the Holy Spirit will help us understand this inverse relationship between God and evil. How does He know when to begin His work? Revelation 3 tells us, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and have dinner with him, and he with me." Adonai Yeshua is with us constantly, first speaking to us in a quiet whisper to catch our attention. If we hear Him, then the process of repentance begins. But He will not stay there outside the door forever. There comes a time when He will sigh and move away. Of course, this is a metaphor, since He knows from before the beginning of time who will open the door and who will keep the door barred. Scripture is full of wisdom if we but access it. For example, Isaiah 30 shares with us, "Your eyes will see your teacher, and whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it." The question for me then, who is my teacher? For the longest time, I believed my conscience was separate from my soul. How I responded to the twinges of my conscience had nothing to do with my spiritual security. How wrong I was! In the Isaiah passage, I believe the teacher is Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living God working through our consciences. And our eyes? Again, we are looking at metaphor, with eyes in this passage representing our consciousness. Have you ever heard the expression, the inner eye? What a shame the enemy has distorted and polluted this Hebraic concept, bringing it into the realm of New Age through Kabbalistic thought. The inner eye represents our second mind, the house of the soul, our subconscious, wherein lies all our beliefs, all our assumptions, all our hidden values, which come forth to direct and vigorously influence our decisions and behaviors. It is here that our conscience lives as well. And how do we bring this into repentance? As Hashem convicts us through His Holy Spirit, we have a few choices to make. A, we can ignore His conviction and carry on our own way, accepting the consequences of our ignorance. B, we can accept the conviction and engage in a surface examination and reject His niggle. C, we can engage in deep critical reflection on our own, and we may or may not get deep enough to make significant changes. Or D, we can engage in deep critical reflection with a spiritual friend who will assist us in going deeper, ever deeper. This is what I did over a period of 3 years while completing my master's in theological study. The results were electrifying. Through this introspective process, guided by a spiritual director and calling upon Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living God, I was able to uncover inappropriate beliefs and assumptions I didn't know I had. What a healing that was. Whichever route we take in attempting to understand the state of our hearts, rest assured there are consequences, both positive and negative, blessings and curses. Once we have begun the process of turning towards Yahweh, will we be able to turn away from evil? At the moment of our first turning, that is, recognizing there is a God and that He loves us, as we read throughout the Hebrew and the Apostolic Scriptures, will we have answered His knock and begin the process of opening the door of our hearts to Him? And then He will want to move into our hearts as we allow Him. Margaret Halaska wrote this unpublished poem several years ago. I believe it speaks to the process of teshuvah. God knocks at my door, seeking a home for His son. Rent is cheap, I say. I don't want to rent, I want to buy, says God. I'm not sure I want to sell, but you might come in and look around. I think I will, says God. I might let you have a room or two. I like it, says God. I'll take the two. You might decide to give me more someday. I can wait, says God. I'd like to give you more, but it's a bit difficult. I need some space for me. I know, says God, but I can wait. I like what I see. Maybe I can let you have another room. I really don't need that much. Thanks, says God. I'll take it. I like what I see. I'd like to give you the whole house, but I'm not sure. Think on it, says God. I wouldn't put you out. Your house would be mine and my son would live in it. You'd have more space than you'd ever had before. I don't understand at all. I know, says God. But I can't tell you about that. You'll have to discover it for yourself. That can only happen if you let me have the whole house. A bit risky, I say. Yes, says God. But try me. I'm not sure. I'll let you know. I can wait, says God. I like what I see. For me, the relationship between repentance and atonement are captured in this simple yet profound poem. As we slowly become used to the idea of repenting of our sins, we allow Adonai Yeshua more space within our houses, within our hearts, our second minds. The more room we provide him, the less we sin, since there is less room for sin to reside. This is the blessing that comes from repentance. And as we repent for our sins regularly, we develop within us the desire to be kadosh, holy, set apart. Yes, we have received atonement for our sins. This was assured by the death and resurrection of our King, the ruler of the universe. However, we have a relationship with him, and every time I sin, every time you sin, we need to repent. This 40-day period, culminating in Yom Kippur, presents us with an opportunity to pray the prayer of examine, to ask our great and wonderful God to place within our hearts the desire to understand where and how we have offended him by our thoughts and actions. We have an opportunity to be in community with our brothers and sisters, to be vulnerable, to be open, to be transparent. Believe me, if we enter into this relationship with such a desire, we will never be the same again. Our society has created walls to avoid openness, to avoid vulnerability, because the enemy knows these will defeat him. The enemy cannot exist in a loving family of believers who have no difficulty in sharing their deepest, darkest thoughts with someone who will understand, will accept and love, and will not use this information against them. This is what the believing family does. If we are not able to do that for ourselves, recognizing within us the deepest, darkest of our sins, then we will not be healed. We will not be pure. We will not be kadosh. This is the hardest part of our journeys toward redemption. Our willingness to know our sin natures and the impact they have on our lives, both physical and spiritual. Rav Shaul tells us in Romans 8, "For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, his Torah, for it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And then he goes on to say, "You, however," speaking to believers, "are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you." He has taken over our houses if we but open the door to him. Shaul concludes his argument with these words: "Now, if Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Adonai Adonai Yeshua from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Messiah from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. How many rooms of your house does Adonai Yeshua occupy? Is your house fully seated to him? Have you surrendered your life to him totally? If not, take solace. He likes what he sees, and he is patient. He can wait. Abba Father, help us all to surrender our lives to you, allowing you to enter our houses, our hearts, and fully occupy all the space available. Help us to clean the clutter and the garbage that currently exists in these rooms and make them suitable for you. In your beloved and precious name, we all pray. Amen.
God's children now, and what we will be is not yet appear. We know that when he appears, shall be like him, we shall see.